Hello and welcome to the TalkCast Pod Show, the number one show on the internet and Earthrealm's greatest champions. I'm your host with a smile of equal value to my box office draw, Lanny Cage, and I'm joined this week by the foul-mouthed Kaiser Kano.
Oh, hey, what's up with my terrible Australian accent? It's also kind of cockney. I didn't prepare for this.
Yeah, I never give you time to prepare. I always do these kind of off the cuff. And we are also joined by the Lin Kuei's loudest warrior, Sub-Zito. Too true. that one was kind of spoon-fed to me. Like, I was thinking, okay, I got these guys on here. What am I going to do? Kaiser Kano?
You couldn't hear it. But that was Earthrealm's loudest fuck you in silence.
Ah. Ooh, new meta.
That's my arcana.
So gentlemen, today we are here to talk about Mortal Kombat, and specifically the Mortal Kombat movie that just dropped over the weekend. But before we do that, I have a little segment I like to call the Rundown, where we talk about some of the things that, you know, kind of happened over the week or might be coming up that really I don't want to spend a whole lot of time covering, but it's still worth mentioning. First and foremost, I do want to drop out there for those of you that have enjoyed the TFS Civ streams. We're going back to the Civ Wars tomorrow over on twitch.tv/stream4star, Master WGS and Lanny Pator, respectively. So pop in if you've been enjoying the battles and lack thereof. And I do want to address that I know we wanted to talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier, but that's going to have to wait for a special video because Stefan wanted to join us for that. And I think if you do want to see our views on Falcon and Winter Soldier, I'd turn your gaze to 4-Star Bento, which is making its comeback here in the coming next couple of days. Also, you can catch over there our My Hero season review so far. We're up to episode 5, three videos in. The first video we did, the first three episodes. And so far, Kaiser, your barest of impressions on My Hero so far?
This season is a slow build. It's got a lot of stuff. It's got a lot of new characters. It's a school function, so and it came after another school function. So right now it's kind of like, okay, is it going to be anything important or cool besides character stuff? And it's a slow build, but at least it's really well animated, and we are seeing a lot of cool uses of powers. So I'm digging it. Yeah. Personally,
for more of the nuance,
the more looks, I hear about this show. Sorry, go ahead. Quick cut. I'm just like, but for every time when I hear this show and when I think of like a character-driven anime, like something like My Hero, it's kind of odd when I'm like hearing people go, you know, I wish something was happening, but we're having so much character development, and I'm just like, isn't that something happening?
Yeah,
and that's
kinda,
usually
yeah.
Like in filler arcs where people like don't want that, but now they're getting it, and then they say they do want it, but then they want to go back to the action. It's so weird.
Well, it's trying to strike that balance between character building and plot progression. Mm. When you have both of those going on, fucking fantastic. That's the dream. Although, personally, I think it's a mixture of, it's like a balance. Like, you have character building, action, character building, action. This has just been, like, a lot of character-focused stuff for, like, two seasons in a row. So that's why it's a little like, okay.
The dry spell.
You run into a little bit of that One Piece problem where you just have so many characters. Naruto also fell really hard into this, where you had so many characters that you wanted to develop. Kaiser, I think you put it very well. I can't remember what platform you said this on, but it's this idea of after, like, seeing the stakes being so high in the previous season that, like, you know, the last couple of arcs, and then you, like, lower the stakes just so much at this point, it feels kind of like the release of tension was almost too much. Like, that bungee cord sprung back just a little too much.
It wouldn't be so bad if, again, we didn't have the school festival arc before this, which also had the gentle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I know there are people out there who don't like gentle. They're wrong, and that's okay. They're allowed to be. But I was a huge fan of gentle. But also, that arc did lower the stakes a lot. And then we get another arc with even lower stakes. So it's like, okay.
There are no stakes, Tigtone.
And also after waiting a year, that also hurt a little bit. We had to wait a year.
And it's been a very long year.
But that's less of like a harsh criticism and more of just an acknowledgement of why this feels this way.
Yeah.
Again, I think this arc, it will be better for a lot of people when it can be binged. But until then, the week to week's a little tough.
Yes. Also, I think one thing that kind of hit it for me is that we're also fresh off of Jujutsu Kaisen, which blew my fucking ass out of my face. Like, it's strong, that show.
Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys are fans of Mother's Basement, but Jeff Thu actually did a full, like, basically called Jujutsu Kaisen peak shonen, which I think is an opinion you could have. I don't necessarily disagree. I'm a huge Hunter x Hunter guy, so I'm like, I'm gonna be like, hey, motherfucker.
This hits a lot of those vibes, though.
And he was like, hey, I've only seen the license arc of Hunter x Hunter, and I'm like, motherfucker, watch the rest of Hunter x Hunter, then speak. I like Jeff, though. And it's a good video. You should watch it if you're curious about Jujutsu Kaisen and really want to be sold on why it's good.
There's a lot of great videos out there on why Jujutsu Kaisen is amazing, including our own TalkCast pod show where we just gushed about it forever because it's amazing. Yeah. And you should watch it if you enjoy anime and good things. Speaking of good things, 22 years in the making, Pokemon Snap coming out in 2 days. How you guys feeling about that? Are you guys excited for it? Are you lining up for Blockbuster to get your pictures printed off? What's up?
I want it really badly.
I just want to see, like, how many generations did this finally... Like, literally, Pokemon Snap was only Gen 1, and now we're on Gen 8.
I hear it does,
like,
some fun...
How much are they going to cram in there, and do we have to wait another 8 gens to get a new one?
God only knows. I thought for the longest time they were going to turn Pokemon Snap into like a little mini game inside of like Pokemon. Like you go to the Safari Zone, but in this case, it's a Pokemon Snap level. I really thought they were going to do that at some point, but they just didn't.
I thought they were going to take the easy route and make it a phone app.
Kind of just do what they were doing with Pokemon Go, but then just pitchy.
And then you like add more make of the picture whatever functionality. Pictures you make a fucking like a wallpaper on your phone or some such thing that makes them believe that they really want people to not use Discord and use their fucking on phone like voice app thing.
Oh yeah,
I wouldn't have been surprised if they had gone with the cell phone angle, but I'm really really glad they did the Switch. The Switch is literally the perfect console for this.
Yes, it absolutely so. Is. I went to E3 back in 2012, the only E3 I ever went to, and I think the last E3 that Nintendo was at, where they were showing off the Wii U. And I'm thinking, oh, this thing's got like a gyroscopic camera? That Pokemon Snap's coming back. Like that was the first thought I had, and it just never materialized. And this one you have I don't know how many tracks, but I know you have a day and night cycle for most of the tracks. So you have different Pokemon that show up every time. And the more you go through the track, the more familiar some of the Pokemon will be with you. So they'll behave differently as you go through. It has some very interesting concepts.
There are far more branching paths too. Like I think like one stage had like three points of six branching paths before they went back to one.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking nuts. And also, I like that they made not the professor's assistant, but like there was like the extra photo guy was Todd, like the original Todd.
Yeah. Ooh.
So it's just there with his wacky fucking curly hair just comes on in. Hi, I'm like 30 something years old and I look like I'm from fucking Pokemon Legends now.
I feel like I'm being called out here.
Honestly, I think the game's going to be like a 7 out of 10. I think
it's not going to like blow my socks off or anything, but it's Pokemon Snap. It's a casual gamer's casual game for casual fun.
Well,
I just really want to be able to take pictures of Pokemon. That's all I'm here for. It's all I need.
I mean, it took the guys who made Pokemon Tekken, like that's literally the catalyst for this. It was just like the director of Tekken or Pokken, I think it's called, right?
Yeah.
The director of Pokken was just like, all right, maybe you can give me Pokemon Snap because we've tried to do this like for 3 consoles now and we haven't had a chance to. And all it took was that to happen. And then Namco was like, all right, fine, fuck it. Here you go. And here we are now. And it's like, if this sells, fuck all of you.
Yeah. I mean, look, keep it rolling.
I'm really glad that Pokken people are getting more to do because we're not getting any more Pokken, sadly.
Yeah.
No, if this does good, this might actually bode well for them to make... Because whenever you make a video game, you always future-proof for, like, a sequel or something going forward. This was obviously the going forward thing. It was either Pokken 2 or Pokemon Snap, and they went with Snap first. Which hey, doesn't now that mean we're getting they can't a new double Pokemon back to Pokken 2.
Well, hey, now that we're getting a new Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Stadium 3. Pokemon Stadium 3! Pokemon Stadium 3!
That is gonna be the most busted fucking thing, and everyone's gonna try to jerry-rig their Switches so they can get the most broken moves. I can't wait.
All I'm saying is, Pokemon Stadium 3, give them all the attack animations, then port that shit. You can use that for the next, like, 2-3 generations, I bet. Watch. Just watch.
Probably. At least until Pokemon Bank gets fucked over. Because it obviously will.
Inevitably. And in other TFS-related news, some of you might have hung around on our YouTube channel for the day of April the 20th, where we did a nice, fun, all-day chill stream of our lo-fi slash smooth jazz mix of a lot of our favorite Dragon Ball tunes. That album is currently available, and you can check out that video at any time, but in very sad related news... Shunsuke Kikuchi, the composer for the Dragon Ball music, passed away very recently, either this morning or last night, and I just wanted to have a quick moment of silence for Kikuchi-san. I know you absolutely loved the... like, you use the score whenever you had a chance to in DBZA and pretty much any Dragon Ball-related stuff we did, Kaiser, so I know you're closer to this than I am, but...
Yeah, he... Actually, I should note, he passed away on April 24th.
April 24th.
Yeah, from aspiration pneumonia. He was 89 years old, so he lived a full, amazing life. The guy did music for... Doraemon, for Gamera, Dragon Ball, Dr. Slump, Kamen Rider, for like the first couple of Kamen Riders. Guy did so much amazing music. And yeah, it is heartbreaking to lose him. I made sure to use his music in our show a lot because I grew up with that score. I absolutely adore his talent, his music, and the fact that he's gone is just insane. I can't believe it. When I saw the news last night, I was shell-shocked.
Yeah, his influence can still be seen throughout the industry. I mean, so many of those songs are just so iconic. Is iconic the right word for a song?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. His score was iconic as hell.
When I think icon, I think visual for some reason.
No, it works for music.
Okay, but yeah, it's...
I guess resounding could work as well.
That's what I was thinking. Like, if there's a better word for, like, the song version of Icon.
For audio instead of visual, yeah.
But yeah, a tragic loss of a great composer. He shall be remembered and shall be missed. But moving on to our main topic at hand, and speaking of music, because I think the Mortal Kombat... the Mortal Kombat Electronica soundtrack is kind of emblazoned in everybody's head. Everybody knows that. It was part of like so many of the ad campaigns, and while the game was very popular in the 90s, I don't think it was until that song and the movie came out that it really just launched into mega like fandom that Mortal Kombat just hit. And that song to this day still slaps. In the Yu Yu Hakusho abridged movie, I used it as the frickin' title theme because that song's just so damn good. I don't care if it didn't fit for shit.
It was so good that this movie could not abandon it. It kept using it as a motif throughout.
Mm-hmm. Every now and again you hear that dun 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 dun. And of course there was a big remix for it in the credits.
Yeah. Which was okay.
And also was used in the primary, like, fight scene.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, the finisher one.
Yeah, they kept using it, like, again, they used it throughout as a leitmotif. I kind of dug on that, except, honestly... So, my opinions on this film are going to either run parallel or perpendicular to a lot of folks in the audience, so be prepared.
Ooh, I mean, a general opinion.
I like Mortal Kombat, like, as a franchise, but, I mean, I get when we talk about this, I'm just like, I'm not angry that this movie exists. I walked in with no expectation.
That this movie exists.
Yeah.
But my time is valuable.
Like, this was a fun 2 hours.
Yeah. The way I felt about, like, going into this movie, first of all, you got to go into it with the right mindset. I went into it with my friend Caitlin. We were ready to just, you know, riff as need be. I think that's the right setting. This movie is good for, like, a rowdy couple of people, like, good friends that you just want to joke around with for approximately 2 hours. Because this movie is really, really fucking dumb. But it's also really fun. I had a lot of fun with this movie.
I mean, let's be real. Does anyone here feel like it ran the video game movie curse? I don't think so.
I think it was. It might be the best Mortal Kombat movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Nope. I wholeheartedly disagree.
Kaiser, the ever bearing Armageddon fan. Annihilation.
No, Mortal Kombat Annihilation. No, honestly, the TV series was the best one. You guys should watch Mortal Kombat.
The cartoon?
No, there was the cartoon. There was a live action series. I think it was on USA. It was really bad. It's fucking abysmal.
I had never even heard of it. That's how slow that drop.
When I hear TV, I think of the reason why Jax went to Mortal Kombat is because someone made fun of him for being fat in school. That was the best plot line ever.
Mortal Kombat Legacy. Thank you. Mortal Kombat Legacy. It was bad. No, honestly, for me, like, that original Mortal Kombat movie is still better than this. Specifically because it is way more fun for me. It is way more fun than this film was. And also way less, like, well, sometimes... So, my biggest problem with this film is that it refuses to just go with the flow of things.
Yeah.
It constantly has to provide a little bit of snarky quips and, oh, acknowledgements of things. And, look, they spelled Mortal Kombat wrong. Yeah, we know, okay? We know, Cole.
Yeah. It's, you bring up, like, a lot of good points. Like, I can see where people would divide here. Personally, I have more fun with this one, even though I have a lot of nostalgia for the original, but I went back and rewatched the original, I think, like, a couple weeks or so back. And I agree, it's still fun. It has, like, a lot of great cheesy moments. But I think it's also, like, as disconnected as this movie feels at times, that one also really suffers from contrivances in, okay, now we're doing this. And how is this tournament set up again? Who's fighting who and why is Liu Kang in every fight? And
yeah, the pacing's really fucking weird in this
play.
It's bizarre. But yeah, at least this one, you got that kind of sense of, okay, this is what the tournament is. It's one team versus another team. And I guess you can swap people out as you need to. As long as they have the dragon tat, you can swap them in and out. Which, that whole thing was an interesting point of contention. And I think, by the way, spoilers. Spoilers from this point forward, and
point,
probably
spoilers
from that point, this point backwards as well.
But by the way, I have to make a correction because I know the comments are gonna jump on this. Sorry, it was Mortal Kombat Conquest. That was the live action series. Sorry,
spelled with a K, I hope.
Yeah, spelled with spelled with a C. Although
okay, it's ruined.
Alternate spellings. Sometimes it was with a C. Other times it was with a K. It wasn't consistent. So
well, that's...
Oh, well, there's your problem.
All right.
But anyway. But yeah.
The things I enjoyed more about this movie is it leaned heavily into the R rating, where, you know, the original was PG-13. Like, what? Fucking Mortal Kombat. What are we, on the SNES? Come on. Mm. And
yeah.
This one...
Put on green blood.
Yeah. This one leans heavy into the R rating. Like, the opening fight scene between, human Scorpion, regular-ass Hanzo. And Sub-Zero. I don't even remember his
name. Bi-Han. It's Bi-Han. Bi-Han's the first one who's a jerk-off that no one's supposed to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who I guess is also immortal in this film? I don't know. Things are weird.
In the game,
shit's
he becomes,
fucked.
What, smoke?
In the game, he becomes Noob Saibot, I think.
That's okay, right,
it
is that's right.
Okay, so it's Noob Saibot. For some reason, I thought it was Smoke. It's Noob Saibot.
Yeah, yeah, I got that okay. wrong too, but he's right.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. That's how they retconned Noob Saibot to actually being a character. Is he's
until
the
they retconned
he's the yeah he's the specter of the original Sub Zero.
Until they retconned it three more times in the fucking video game.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one of the fun things that we have going on here is that Mortal Kombat, as it developed, created this really interesting, elaborate story.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I'm actually really happy that they were able to do that, because the first couple of Mortal Kombats are not... They barely have anything going on at all.
They had, the opening text and the ending text. It was thick with lore, but that's about all you really got. And...
They blew the budget on all the fucking photographs.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fighting game gamer, but I will go out of my way whenever NetherRealm releases something because I can at least enjoy a campy, weird bullshit story.
And yeah, I'm a fan of that.
It never fails. Like they always have something there, no matter how contrived or weird or whatever. Just they put effort into the stories, into the cutscenes, and it is fun. They have built a very fun lore.
Nick, speaking of that, did you guys see the news?
Hmm.
NetherRealm is working with Marvel on a new
That's
fighting
right.
game.
That's right. I did hear that. I
the
heard
monkey's
that...
paw closes.
You're this much closer to Marvel versus DC in a video game.
Mm.
I don't know what to think about that, but it'll be interesting. It didn't even specifically say fighting game. You just assume fighting game because NetherRealm. But it'll be interesting to see what comes of it. I mean... Give us a graphically brutal X-Men fighting game. I think that could be interesting.
Oh, fuck. That'd be such a great way to bring back the mutants. Holy shit. That's... Fuck, I want that now, and it's not... We don't even know if it's real. Fuck.
So, hey. The movie.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like
Sorry.
We haven't talked...
Oh, no,
we're
talking Mortal Kombat. We've touched on the movie, here and there. And I'll say, when it comes to the movie... You're drawn in by that opening scene with Sub-Zero and Scorpion, and you're like, the tone is set right there with the blood and how they're, like, just kind of aping some of the special moves. Like, you get a lot of that fan service where, down back A, back A, I know what's happening. So, that first fight scene where you get all those jobber ninjas and Scorpion starts fighting everybody with the world's deadliest garden tool.
That's just a kunai.
It is.
But
his wife was using it to like brush dirt off of roots. So it's a garden tool.
Like, but like why? I was watching that. I'm like, wait a second. That is just a kunai. Why is she using it like that?
I'd like to imagine their kid now like cuts their meals with a fucking katana.
Well, they couldn't raise him to do that because let's just say that opening scene doesn't go too well for Scorpy. They're able to hide away a baby, which...
Oh, okay. Apparently, thank you, chat. Kunai were originally garden tools.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I was gonna say, I think the reason it was a garden tool was because, like, kind of to go back to ninja origins where they were just very resourceful with what weaponry they had around them. So a lot of the times they were just using tools, gardening equipment, and various, like, blades that you could just get your hands on without being a feudal lord. Yeah, Gaijin Goomba would be yelling at us right now, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm 99% sure he would.
I could hear him screaming from here.
Yeah, he's just screaming.
Bedridden from the vaccine.
So we shoot into the future with our... Like, the first kind of, like, thing that kind of stuck in my craw with this movie, their invented character of Cole. They had a character in Mortal Kombat 10... that would have fit this perfectly. He was the son of Kenshi, the blind samurai, but they easily could have just said, it was the distant relative of Scorpion. They had Takeda. I always just... And he even has, like, the same type of, like, equipment and shit. Like, which was the most confusing part to me, why they're doing that.
I think the story would have been better off without that character. He's useless.
He really
He's
is.
He's pointless.
He loses. Like, he loses every one-on-one he fights in this movie. Every single one.
Except Goro.
No. He needs the assistance from his family. He got the assist from his wife.
It's true.
I think I, like, invented a reason for him to be, like, useful. Like, me and Casey were watching this movie together, and it wasn't until up until a certain point I'm just like, all right, this character is either A, completely fucking useless, or, like, is gonna turn into something that reaches back into Mortal Kombat, and the moment he gets his fucking armor and then the Tonfas pop out, me and Casey both turned to each other and just went, is that fucking Striker?
It's... Right? Like, this could have been anybody. They could have...
It could have been Johnny Cage.
It could have been Johnny Cage. It really could have been.
Honestly, it should have been Johnny Cage. If, in fact, this character was studio mandated, like people are saying he might have or was, it could have just been Johnny Cage, and then you would have had a character who everyone actually likes and wants to see take part in all of this, instead of just a random... Like, because you have Liu Kang and Kung Lao basically playing second fiddle to this new guy. And it's like, why?
Especially when they show themselves to be significantly more adept.
Didn't the studio that is making this movie state that they wanted to make, like, a Liu Kang and Kung Lao, like, buddy series?
Well, like a Shaolin Monk buddy series? I don't know.
Yeah, like Shaolin Monks.
I don't know how that's going to work anymore because, I mean, I guess it could be a prequel. Because yeah, one prequel. Of my favorite lines in this movie, right before Kung Lao's about to eat it. You hear that? He's about to get his soul sucked.
By the way, I want to just talk with the guy who voices Cabal.
Yeah.
I just want to talk. I want to pick his brain. I want to know why. and not in a bad way. I just want to know how did you just go with this interpretation? It's funny. It's super funny. Like, I legit was like, okay, this guy's a lot of fun. But what the hell?
I think Casey told me the best thing ever when she turned to me when Cabal came on screen and started talking. She went, is this what it feels like when people, like, imitate your accent? But I'm like...
That's the first thing I thought. I was like, wow, that's a genuine New York accent there.
Yeah, well, remember, everyone apparently was from fucking Boston in the Mortal Kombat universe.
Yeah. I mean, he was like a secondary character, like true secondary, kind of there to, I guess, be Liu Kang's rival of all things? I don't know.
It's so frustrating because if they had made the story about Liu Kang and Kung Lao's rivalry, we wouldn't have needed Cole. But no... It's like we gotta have Cole in there, and I'm sorry. I know that a lot of people probably had a lot of fun with this film, but involvement, his story, everything about it kept just kind of drawing me out of it because all I wanted to do was see all this cool story going on. But no, we have to focus on the
new guy.
Oh God, not the opposite of ancestor, the
descendant.
Descendant.
The descendant, and again, spoilers, so if you care about that now, well...
He's the baby of the baby of the baby that Scorpion left behind before he went to hell to train forever.
The worst casted Raiden of all time.
Oh, that's saying something. Christopher Lambert's pretty fucking awful, dude.
Christopher Lambert is fun. Christopher Lambert is memorable.
I could never take, like... I'm sorry, he was just so, like, weird. That fucking laugh, that...
I'm with Nick. No, that...
I would take... Sorry, go ahead, Zito.
No, I was just saying, I'm with Nick on that one. I'm just like, Christopher Lambert, and I'm just like, between this guy, and I'm like, no, I want this guy instead.
No way, this guy had no presence. This guy was so...
But the shitty grin he gives when he's just like, you said you weren't supposed to intervene.
I don't think he was a particularly great actor, but I do think as a otherworldly force, you can kind of forgive some of that stuff. It's also the same way that both Liu Kang and Kung Lao come off as kind of awkward because they were literally raised in a cave. I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't think they were great actors. I legitimately don't. But they had that excuse of being raised in a monastery and not having social cues. It actually led to one of my favorite Kano moments, which, by the way, Kano... Best character
MVP.
In this film,
MVP.
By far.
Best. Best.
I had never heard of Mr. Lawson beforehand, Josh Lawson, but holy shit, I am looking out for him now because I was laughing hysterical at some of his, like, takes. When Liu Kang just kind of pats him on the shoulder. The fuck? Just so genuine. And when he's trying to jump over his low kicks, and he jumps too early, fuck. Just so
okay, but
good.
They made him ad-lib. They said they gave him the most fucking right to ad-lib out of everyone in the fucking movie.
And
The film rarely got a genuine laugh out of me, but it was almost always Kano.
It was
and
always
the loudest
Kano.
One, the loudest one was easily the one where it's like, I don't have a tattoo. And then just in the background, wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
I fucking lost it. I was like, okay.
And the audio quality on it, telling you that it was definitely picked up on studio mic that wasn't on him, is beautiful. I just...
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Absolutely.
No, I got a genuine laugh out of the low kick. Just the I'm just like, man, he's just like, he fucking jumps on the third low kick and then gets low kicked again. I'm just like, oh my god, that's so fucking good.
Yeah, when Liu Kang faints him, he's like, hup. He's like, he jumps for it and just in midair, you can see it on his face, you hear it in his voice. Ah, fuck. Boom. Right when he lands, I'm just, that man is so good at comedic timing. Holy shit. I absolutely loved him in this.
I want more movies with that guy. He's a fun time.
It was really good to see actually some of the best characters in this. Like, I actually really like Sonya Blade in the film. Mm-hmm. She's like, just generally her character is a little bit dry, but you know, she's playing off of Kano, so she sort of has to.
Yeah.
God bless her, she's trying, because look at the character she's playing.
Yeah, she's tough girl, like tough as nails, tough girl. Who thankfully they didn't get Ronda Rousey to try to play, because I think she needs a few more acting classes. Even in the video game, I'm just like, oh, girl.
Yeah, no. Or like, anytime her daughter shows up, I'm like, oh, you're being out-acted by like a million lines.
Mm.
But yeah, like, I thought, so it's kind of frustrating because visually the casting in this film is like really on point. But yeah, there are a couple of characters. Like, I think Liu Kang suffered from just not having a, like, the script not servicing his character at all.
No, absolutely
like,
not.
Again,
he was,
like, Luke...
Yeah, he was shoved way to the back of the shelf.
Yeah. And the film's pacing is weird.
Yeah, this movie is insanely dense, but they didn't film, like, any full fight scenes, so they always have to intersplice all of the other fight scenes around them when they were happening.
That was the worst, by the way, because
I
like the best fight in the entire film. There are two really, really tremendously good fights. One, Hanzo versus the ninjas, was like, oh, that was sick as fuck.
The opening is great.
And then the second one is literally at the end of the film. The beginning and end of this fucking film are two different, like, are completely different from the rest of it.
Yeah.
And that last fight is sick as shit.
Yeah, when you get... when you that Sub-Zero versus, I mean, essentially Scorpion, but Cole's there too. You gotta give him a shot, man. Nah, Sub-Zero.
Oh, yeah. As we see him punching the ice that's on his family.
Yeah, when he's
constantly
trying to punch the ice on his frozen family. You know, that in the video game when that happens, shit shatters and people die. Just.
I was just like, man, you're gonna, like, break the fucking lower torso of your wife off. Stop it.
Although I will say I was watching the film with a friend over Discord, and I couldn't help myself. The moment Scorpion showed up and it does the fucking bleach over the shoulder, I just yelled out, "Look out behind you!"
Nothing personal, kid.
I want to double back to Cole real quick.
Oh, absolutely.
I kind of feel like he.
Do we have to?
But just for this once moment, guys, give me this. For fuck's sake.
Let Zito have this, Kaiser.
Let me have it. Let me.
You don't let him
me
have anything. Let him have Cole. Cole doesn't get anything. Let Zito have him.
Go ahead.
Let Zito. Me take the spotlight from him real quick. Cole has but one purpose and one purpose alone. I understand why they did it, but then it's outshined by Kano, who is the other side of this purpose. Kano is the audience who is Cole is the audience that walks in on this movie and has no fucking idea what Mortal Kombat is.
Yeah, he's the
Whereas
surrogate.
Kano is completely everyone who knows what Mortal Kombat is.
Yeah. See, that's one of the biggest problems, though, I actually think, with Cole's deal, is the fact that he's supposed to be that fish out of water, the one being introduced to it, when pretty much everybody he meets is like, I don't really know what this is.
Yeah,
so we're
Kano
all kind of learning this together.
Sonya doesn't. Fucking Jax doesn't.
Like, he gets introduced to things in stages. Like, Jax shows up and he's like, oh yeah, you got that dragon tattoo? That means there's a tournament thingy that we're looking for. We're trying to figure that out. But then apparently Raiden can track anybody with that symbol on them. Like, he knows exactly where they are. And he didn't think to go looking for these champions of Earth
we're fucking teleporting
a decade earlier or so. Before Cole was getting his ass kicked in prelim cage fights for $200.
Use your uppercut, Cole!
Use the uppercut!
Use it!
I was confused for a while. I thought that was his kid's sister for like the longest time, but then I guess it's his oddly old daughter? Yeah.
Yeah, I fucking... By the way, I used the uppercut, Cole. That is there it is. And that is indicative of the quality of this script. I swear to God.
There's one reason that I know why Cole couldn't be Johnny Cage. Well, one main reason. And that's because Johnny Cage is always a very funny character. You can't have your funny, snarky guy going up against Kano who just steals the whole goddamn show. Like, you just can't. Also, I don't know if this is part of studio interference, but I feel like they might try to sell Cole DLC in Mortal Kombat 11 or something. I
fucking thought that as well.
Oh yeah,
100%.
I will be legitimately surprised if he doesn't show up as DLC soon.
Okay, Scott. So when we get back to the office and we play Mortal Kombat, when the DLC does drop, I'll just be a Cole main just to spite you.
Cole main. Got a main Cole.
I'll be the only Cole main of the universe.
Oh, somebody's saying there's rumors of Ryan Reynolds possibly being Johnny Cage.
I know a wrestler that goes by The Miz is heavily campaigning for that as well. He has the,
really?
Like, he looks it. Like, if you Google this guy, he looks like fucking Johnny Cage. Like, they...
Yeah, actually, funny enough, because of you and Kurt, I know who that is.
Yeah. So, he started campaigning pretty quickly, be like, hey, give me a shot here. He's not a bad actor, either.
A lot of the fucking pro wrestler guys like have to have at least a little bit of an acting background.
Yeah,
it's like 90% of their okay.
You're gonna be on camera and you have a presence. You gotta at least command some charisma to it.
Yeah,
definitely.
The acting coach that I was working with for a few months straight, he worked with a lot of WWE and AEW talent. So yeah, a lot of them are looking to expand their horizons with that, because you do need that level of showmanship. And so there is that natural transition. I mean, it's why The Rock and John Cena, to a significantly lesser extent, Hulk Hogan, made that jump to Hollywood for a while.
Hulk Hogan, unfortunately for Hulk Hogan, I feel like 99% of what he did was just that the same persona that he brought to the ring was what he brought to all of his movies.
Yeah.
Which was hard to get away from. I feel like Dwayne The Rock Johnson can play similar but still different characters.
Yeah.
But to his benefit though, his acting for Hulk anyway, for Hogan's acting on the screen may not be the best. But because of who he was and what his personality is, and he never changes through his acting,
oh, he was
really good for voiceover.
He was that sort of Arnold draw. He was that, oh, I know that name, I'm gonna go see this. Like he was C-tier Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like
yeah.
that's basically what he was for the majority of the 90s and early 2000s.
If I might.
You may.
So we were talking earlier about like, oh, the best Mortal Kombat movie. And I still maintain that the initial original Mortal Kombat movie is legitimately the better Mortal Kombat movie. Specifically because in terms of memorable moments, things that stick with you, things that feel like that go that make you want to go, fuck yeah.
Like those were $500 sunglasses, asshole. That kind of thing.
Yeah. This is the part where you fall down. When fucking Sonya snaps Kano's neck. When Liu Kang beats Sub-Zero by throwing the ice in that fucking icicle runs him through.
Anticlimactic as that might have been.
As it might have been. The fucking fight up like against Shang Tsung where he falls onto the blades. Like, the music, guys. The fucking music. You cannot... Like, the music in this movie was neat, actually. Part of it, I was like, okay, yeah. I really want to know what the idea was behind some of this because... I legitimately was getting into it. But the score from that original Mortal Kombat movie is so iconic. Now, is it a good movie? Look, it is a 90s video game action, like, barely PG-13, like, kung fu film. But man, if I watched these back to back, I would have way more fun with the first one because the second one is just... The first one's dumb fun. The second one is dumb and sometimes fun. And by the second one, I mean this film, not Annihilation. Annihilation is just bad all over.
Annihilation is all sorts of bad.
It is a good fun. It's a fun hate watch, though. I mean, it is great for like, oh, so bad it's good.
Yeah. I don't know. I legitimately enjoyed my time with this Mortal Kombat. I think it does fit into the realm of dumb fun. Because while I think one unfair judgment that you kind of get from looking back with the rose-colored glasses of looking at the original and looking at this one. First of all, Test of Time and all that. That one's been around for so long, it's had time to kind of ingrain itself, like worm itself into your brain. So there may be moments in this that on the initial viewing didn't set out quite as high, but I still remember like when Jax was getting his like arms ripped off, when you were like seeing all of that, like the legitimate brutality that you come to expect from the Mortal Kombat franchise, I do think that this is actually more faithful to the source. If that is where I like, that's kind of where I'm leaning on this.
It's more because they do have moments in the fucking video where it's like they want to show off way more of the lore, like when Liu Kang says I was trained by Bo Raicho, or fucking when Shang Tsung just is like, ah, here's like my cohort now, and it's a fucking dragon person. I'm like, are you okay addressing Onaga?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell the love is in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can see that. You can see it in the people, at least a couple of the people making this film, really like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But it just bothers me because between the fact that, like, some of the dialogue is just bad, like not even fun, lol, like oh cheesy bad, just kind of like this kind of sucks. The fact that Cole as a character kind of diminishes everyone else's role by the sake of just kind of
existing.
Being there. but the fact that I'm sorry, most of the fight scenes are like just kind of okay. Like there's a couple of really good ones, but genuinely the rest are bad.
There are a lot of really weird plot contrivances. The fact that you had Cole there to be the ancestor of Scorpion just to be able to bring Scorpion back at the end to see Scorpion. Like that felt like his overall purpose in the movie to me for the longest time. I was like, okay, he has a connection to Scorpion, so either he's going to become Scorpion through weird magic what's-its's, or Scorpion's going to come back from hell, as he should. And Scorpion came back from hell, and he got some weird stabby tonfas.
Yep, he comes back from hell. Why? How? Shut up. Yeah, Scorpion. You want Scorpion. Don't even ask. Which is like...
They give him like a brief explanation of, he spent his entire time in hell training and waiting and hunting the people that did him wrong. And don't ask how I know this.
By the way, I should point something out. Something that we haven't even said. This film is supposed to be the first one in a series.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody who hasn't seen the film but is still here because they don't care about spoilers, and you haven't heard this, guess what? There is no Mortal Kombat in this movie.
Yeah?
They don't even get to the eponymous? Yeah, to the eponymous Mortal Kombat. They don't even get to it. The entire film is Shang Tsung waging a war against Earthrealm, so they can't even start the tournament.
Which is also why
they brought in a bunch of characters from the extended universe that never mattered, like General Raiko and Flying Harpy Chick, who admittedly has an amazing death.
Imagine if they brought in some of the really lesser known characters from like Mortal Kombat 4 or Armageddon, like Mocap or Meat.
Meat.
I want meat. Honestly, having Natara, like I'm really glad that if this is the route that they wanted to go, where they were gonna do like a fights before the tournament. One, wow, I wonder what they're gonna do with Goro, like, because they kind of jobbed the shit out of him, and I'm wondering if like they're gonna do something weird with him in the next movie, because they're about
death
to bring
has
in.
No meaning. Death
has no meaning. That first of all, and second, there are a lot of Shokan, a lot of Shokan that people actually enjoy, as like
Shiva.
Shiva, the female Shokan that you got to play as in Mortal Kombat 2 or 3.
All I'm saying is I feel like they're going to bring back Goro, because at the end you see him's like, you know, oh, death means nothing to me. And then he takes both Sub-Zero and Goro away,
yeah,
which makes me think they're going to do something with Goro. What I'm assuming is like Shinnok or Quan Chi is going to be in the next film. He's going to bring them back to life. We're going to get something like the mountain with Goro, and, you know, Bi-Han will become Noob Saibot.
I don't mean to hurt your image of Goro, but he was always there to be a jobber. He was the sub boss in the first game.
I mean, hell, in the first movie,
Johnny Cage punched him in the dick.
But I honestly believe that if they were going with, like, oh yeah, Goro's going to be the villain, like, I think Goro should have been the main, like, antagonist of that first film. Where, like,
but then what would but Liu then Kang, what would you have done with foppish Shang Tsung?
I feel like Shang Tsung was so close to being really cool in this film.
I thought they played him out correctly. Like I liked the energy they were going for with him.
Yeah. Also, the actor was. See, you want to talk about, like, I feel like if the script had been better, he might have been on par with the first. Of that first film. Like, oh my gosh, Shang Tsung from that film is so fucking iconic.
Yes.
Your soul is mine.
That will never not be fucking great. This guy, he's all right, but you can tell that they're just not giving him a whole lot to do yet.
He had very heavy early Frieza energy.
Yeah. And I was totally cool with that. Like, again, what they're trying to do is set up for multiple films. It's just they gave us a boring character to do it with instead of, like, established characters with cool backgrounds and cool moves, and killed off they killed off Kung Lao.
That makes sense, though.
Even in game canon, he shows back up after dying canonically.
Yeah. And also, we don't know if this is reboot 1, 2, and or 3.
Also, they kind of had to kill off Kung Lao just to show the threat that they possess, because he, like, the entire time, once they actually get to that temple, they're touting out Kung Lao as, oh, he's the champion. He's like, we're backup singers to this guy. This guy's, you know, he's got frisbee hat and he teleports. He's really fucking cool. Also,
yeah,
he gets the best fatality in the movie. I mean, he cuts Wing Girl in half. Like, that's fucking cool. Come on.
And there are some cool fatalities in the movie. Actually, oh god, I'm really sad. Like, Luke Kang's fatality in this film is on Cabal.
Yeah.
Which, like, okay.
Like, but like I said, it's really cool. Luke Kang is a background character. He even treats himself as one.
I hate that.
I think...
Well, they gotta build him up, Scott. They gotta build him up for the fact that when fucking Raiden turns heel midway through the fucking franchise, he beats the shit out of him.
Also, oh yeah, also, the Arcana.
That wasn't terrible. I thought it was a nice way to give somewhat of an explanation.
It, honestly, you know what the Arcana stuff felt like to me? The Arcana stuff kind of felt like, oh, we need to work on your Arcana because we need a power system to explain how any of this works.
Yeah, it did feel very anime.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You really don't. You really don't.
It was really contrived, too, in the fact that, like, the way you get it, it's like, oh, you just have to kill somebody that had it, or you have to just be born with it.
They get it.
Which I had a lot of questions about that. Like, if you're the first born in a family, do you just inherit that thing? Or, like, if another kid is born and they're stronger than you, do they, like, does it disappear from you and go to them? Is it only when your dad dies?
What if Doc Venture has the mark?
Yeah.
Also, was Jack's ability always to just
grow metal
new
arms?
Yeah, because I want to know if his arms hadn't been taken by Sub-Zero, what would have happened when he woke in his Arcana?
Maybe like, it would have gotten, like, Popeye Jack, like, boom!
Fuck it.
Like,
yeah,
his bones expand.
Becomes fucking what's-his-face from Overwatch, but with both arms.
Yeah. I did really enjoy Mashad Brooks as Jax. Mechad. Mehcad.
Another appropriately cast actor failed by a script.
Yeah, I feel like he was really underutilized.
Well, that's because they had to Like, and I understand why they did this. They had to show him losing his arms and then getting them back. But part of me kind of just sort of wishes that, like,
they just built them proper to begin with.
Yeah, or maybe if that's going to happen. Like, again, they came up with the Arcana stuff to explain Kano's eye, to explain how he gets his arms back, to explain how Cole gets his power. They did that specifically because they wanted to streamline the plot.
Yeah.
And on one hand, I can sort of appreciate that. But on the other hand, it's weird. And, like, kind of takes a lot of focus. This is some damning comparison. But there were legitimately parts of this film, and I'm not saying the whole film is this bad, but there are parts of this film where I'm like, this is Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
I'm like, yeah, there are legit parts of this film. I'm like, I'm getting real DBE, like, because again, it constantly feels the need to, you know, oh, here's a little explanation, a little side eye. Oh, they spelled combat wrong. Oh, this is your arcana. This is like little explanations to try and make the point. And also a bunch of unexplored things that are way more interesting than what's going on. I legit wanted this film to be better than it was. Because I really, really love the trailers, you guys. The trailers were so good.
I think it's to me, it's a solid 6.5 to 7 out of 10. Like,
I would give it a 6. I'd give it a 6.
I'm stuck in the middle. 6 or 7. I'm like in there.
6.75.
Yeah.
It's in there. Like, it's a solid, fun watch if you are in the correct mood for it. If you're not going in there expecting something like, if you're not going in expecting Ip Man, you know, because while there are some good fights with some decent choreography,
only good fights are the fights that they actually fucking watch from start to finish and not the ones that they break up in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that they break up in between just fall flat on their face because of that reason.
That's because the editing in this film is also shit.
It's pretty not great.
Hey, see, remember that fight with Reptile? Remember how they were doing some really cool stuff with the way he was moving around, the way that they were communicating his invisibility? And then remember that weird shot where, for no reason, they slow it down when Sonya's doing that twist, and then they don't show the follow-through with the knife, just the knife's in him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really cool flip, too. Like, I remember watching that stunt and being like, oh, shit, that was awesome!
But then the editing kills it?
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? That was really cool for there for about, like, 2 seconds, and then, yeah. Like,
you miss the impact. It's like, okay, listen, you don't have to miss the impact. Maybe, like, put in some shaky cam so the editor doesn't have to work that hard, but something better than just, oh, the knife's there now.
Oh, how about the scene where Kano gets a gnome to his eye, and they don't show the gnome very well? You just see her trying to grab for something.
Yeah.
Dude, I wished, for the love of God, that it wasn't the tip of the hat that went to his eye. It was the hand that he spit in.
I'm pretty sure it was the hand that went into
his
eye.
No, it wasn't. It was the hat.
It was the hat.
Okay. Chekhov's gnome was used, though. So
Chekhov's gnome was great.
Which, he's not dead. He's definitely not dead.
Well, with Quan Chi, no one's dead.
Because, like, unless they change the rules for the Arcana, maybe it's if you defeat the person, you get the mark. But the way they said it is you have to kill the person to get it, and then Sonya got the mark and instantly knew how to use her abilities!
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, then she shows up, yeah, and just uses it. Which, and to kill Melina, which, okay, you know what? Melina's barely a thing in this film.
You gotta have a girl fight, I guess.
Because she's a clone!
I guess. Yeah, which also, by the way, why does she say, like, why does she go for Melina? Like, you know what? I don't.
There are a lot of things that don't really make sense.
Also, the Neither Realm, the realm in between, that shit was like.
Oh, that's right, when he dropped them in the void.
Yeah, okay,
welcome
first
to
of
the
all,
void. You could have took us here the whole time.
Yeah, here's the Matrix, man. Just
and speaking of really bad editing, you know when Shang Tsung shows up with his posse, but then like fucking Raiden is like, no, electricity.
And here's my bubble. It was a bad after effect.
I have a shield.
Actually, almost everything to do with Raiden in that film looked like shit. Some of the electricity looked good, but his eyes? I'm sorry, but I'm looking at this, I'm like, I could have done that in After Effects. I could have done that in After Effects so easy. It looks that bad.
His shield bubble was probably like the worst effect I think that I saw in this movie, though.
Especially because you can't tell what's happening when he does it. It's like, wait. Yeah, it's like He hits the thing, electricity comes down on the temple, and then suddenly you just see stuff in the air. They don't have any establishing shot to show that it's a barrier. So literally, for like 13 seconds, I was like, what the fuck's happening?
They do eventually do like a pan out shot to show the barrier, but I think that's when it's coming down or when it's already been erected.
Like, after it's been erected and after they establish that apparently this is a problem, and then they walk away, and I'm like, oh, okay, he has a barrier up. Oh, thank you, wonderful filmmaking. You've done such a good job.
You fool, I've activated my ultimate ability like 15 seconds ago. I have a proc cooldown. Fuck you.
Also, the fact that literally anybody can just get into that temple as long as they know it's there. Like, they do this big old to-do about, you know, Liu Kang opening it up with, like, magic, and then Sub-Zero just shows up.
Yo, what's up? Yeah. I'm here
walks
now.
In. Yeah. Also, by the way, I do have to say, in this film, I really did appreciate how Sub-Zero is just a fucking horror movie villain.
Yeah, he was great.
Like,
oh, he's
fucking actually,
Mr. X.
They used his powers the best. They weren't always consistent,
yeah.
But when he was using them and you'd see the ice forming around people's necks and like you see their skin starting to chip away, you're like, ooh.
Also, oh my god, and speaking of terrible editing, the moments where he would freeze somebody's arm and then the next shot,
it's
unfrozen.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one thing that I wondered about with his, like, you know, the climactic fight with Cole. He had him by the neck. His entire face was frozen over. He slaps the hand down and then, like, just brushes off the soppy wet ice. Also, in the first chase scene when they're driving away after he's hurling bricks of ice that are destroying buildings, and then you can't stop Jax's GMC Suburban because he's just taking them like it's nothing.
Yeah, he's got like bulletproof glass shielding on the windshield.
Yeah.
And like you just like, see the people above the street just like hurling the buckets of slush at it so that it like looks like things are happening.
Yeah, I will agree. Sub-Zero in this film is fucking great.
Yeah, he was
most of his scenes are actually really good.
He was a great primary antagonist.
Oh my god, the shot where fucking Jax tries to shoot him with the gun, with the that fucking firearm.
Yeah,
I can't. I think it was like a shotgun or something because the spread is wide and it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets his arm taken off, and that scene is so sick.
Oh, and when he shoves him off the edge, he's like, first of all, you see the arms come off. You're like, ooh. But then he smacks his head on the that protruding piece of floor, and I was like, oh! Like, it just,
yeah.
It got me. I'm like, gah! That one looked bad.
I thought they were gonna fucking show, like, half his head missing from that. I'm like, fuck me, that was brutal.
Jax's face could take a pounding, because he came back no worse for wear on that front.
Yeah, like, I was expecting this entire section of his head to be robotic.
Yeah,
that was so fucking, like, because the shrapnel he hit on the way down was a metal piece of rhubarb fucking right into his head.
Like, pong! Like, there's some great, brutal stuff in this scene that...
Not brutal enough that apparently a lot of journalists have claimed that this movie is gratuitously gory.
Yeah.
What?
I...
No!
Really?
No!
This film was like less gory than most like big horror films.
No, you want a fucking gory movie, you watch a Jason film.
Yeah,
this was nothing.
They had some big moments of, oh, that guy just got vivisected. Look at all that blood. Blah, there's a decapitation here.
But they don't show it.
They show some of it.
But they show, okay, the hat kill is the most gratuitous one out of the whole fucking movie.
That was fucking tame. Compared to some things like, you know, like Hostel and some horror movies, perhaps. But as your run-of-the-mill popcorn Hollywood flick, you know, you got levels.
Yeah. Honestly, for me, there are parts of the film that I legitimately enjoyed when I was watching. But just generally, I really feel like this film wastes a lot of its cast. It has a bad script. Its editing is all over the place, and it has a couple of really good fight scenes and a couple of really good shots. Like, weirdly enough, the editing is all over the place, but some of the cinematography is bonkers. Like, I was actually like really impressed with some of those shots, but otherwise, yeah, I just genuinely do not like this film.
I think there's a solution to that.
Mm.
Going forward, focus on one, maybe two characters through the entire film.
It'll be interesting.
It may extend it out a little bit further. It may, like, this may mean that, you know, you may not be able to get to every single other character, but I guarantee you, you focus on one, maybe two, you will have an infinitely better film.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with Liu Kang, who is supposed to be very, very important to Mortal Kombat lore, unless they decide to throw that out the window and just run with Cole, baby. I don't know. Because you say they... you say they underutilized a lot of the actors in this film. The only two that I think I had heard of in this film before this were Macaulay Brooks, who was in True Blood, and the dude that played Reiko, you know, Hammer Man, was Nathan Jones, notable meathead jobber of pretty much every Jet Li movie, and I think he was in Ip Man, like one of the Ip Mans as well.
Well, when I say underutilized actors, I really just mean they were obviously decent actors who looked great for the part, but unfortunately their characters weren't allowed to be characters because Cole. I'm sorry. I'm being a broken fucking record. If you liked Cole, I don't judge you. I swear to God, I just hate him.
I'm gonna leave a piece of Cole on your desk when I get back to the office.
Go ahead.
I do agree. That was something that always just kind of stuck in my craw. There is the fact that, why did they feel like they needed to invent a character here? They easily could have done anything with him. Like I said, you could have, if you just named him Takeda and just had that be what, you know, unless they think they're actually going to introduce Kenshi at some point, which I don't mind. I love Obi-Wan.
Here's the thing. Cole exists as the main character.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If Takeda had been the main character, you would have had the same fucking issue.
I guess.
The problem isn't that necessarily Cole's existence is what he represents within the movie, which is a new character to follow, where all these other characters with, like, maybe not more interesting backstories, because, let's be honest, a descendant of Scorpion does sound pretty cool. But, like, it's barely explored in this film. Like, it's established, but it's not explored. So most of the time, we're just spending it with a guy who's not part of the cast that we grew up with, who needs everything explained to him, even though we have other characters there who are perfect for exposition. And you have, like, the perfect opportunity for a rivalry between Liu Kang and Kung Lao, where Kung Lao could then die, forcing Liu Kang to be the main guy. That could have been way cooler. So then, at the end of the film, Liu Kang could have gone up against Goro, killed him, and then pointed at Shang Tsung and said, I'm coming for you at the tournament. If they really didn't want to have Mortal Kombat in Mortal Kombat!
Yeah. Either way, I think it was a lot of fun. I am interested to see if this does well enough where they go next. Because I think at the moment, box office being what it is, of course, I think it has made $50 million so far, which is almost its whole budget. So, and I'm not sure what the HBO Max deal contributes to that, or if that's even reflected.
6-month exclusivity?
Yeah, I have no idea. Or I should say, I don't know how much money that is worth in subscribers to HBO Max.
So the interesting thing there, I believe they have the same... Unless, it'll be interesting, they'll have the views, and the most important thing there is the views. Once they've established how many views they've gotten on the film, they can say whether, like, because I'm 99% sure what they did was they paid for the film, and now after they see the views that it gets, they'll decide whether or not they want to do that again with the next one.
Yeah. But hey, what did you guys at home think? Did you enjoy it? Let us know in the comments, or if you're here in chat, we've been seeing your opinion this entire time. Those who agree with us and those who disagree with us, we respect all here, because we disagree with each other a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us know what you think. Thank you so much for joining us for the TalkCast Pod Show. We'll see you guys next time. Stay happy and healthy out there, everybody.